12, and here is Brian to introduce this week's feature article.
Hello. Last week we heard the first part of an odyssey based in a garden in Cotmore, and recorded back in 2001. This week we have the second half, but as it's fairly short, I've added part of a recording from the Wildlife Sound Recording Society. This recording by Clive Davis captures the sound of the dawn chorus in his garden during lockdown. However, first of all, The Garden Odyssey, Part 2, Gordon Waterhouse writes, Brian and Chris were two photographers who had been busy finding nests in the garden at Cotmore. This time they put up a hide by a robin's nest in the hedge bank behind the garden shed. The geese, belonging to the owners of the garden, spent their nights in this shed where they were safe from the local fox. However, sometimes Brian and Chris had to ask me to protect them from the geese while they were taking turns to slip into the hide to photograph the robins. They had found a way of telling the male and female robins apart. One had a small black patch on its neck. They thought this was the male and that it had been fighting with a neighbouring male. Worms were the most frequent item of prey to be brought to the four chicks, although one day when ploughing was going on in a neighbouring field, leather jackets were on the menu. Like the missel thrushes and the chiffchaffs, the adults removed the chicks' droppings as they were produced, keeping the nest clean. One day, after the robins had flown, Brian found one of the young ones caught in the netting that had been put over the red currants to stop the birds from eating them. Brian carefully removed the little bird and released it to safety. The brown plumage of a young robin provides a good camouflage during the perilous first months of its life. Not until autumn draws near do the red breast feathers appear. The strawberry beds were also netted to frustrate the robins and the blackbirds, and there were many different crops growing in the garden, including potatoes, onions, runner beans, and salad crops. But there were also lots of wild areas, making good hunting areas for the birds. Chris next found a greenfinch's nest in the bushes by the side of the grassy glade where the beehives were. Some of the grass was kept mown, but some was left as a wilderness meadow. We began to move a hide in towards the greenfinch's nest. This proved to be the most demanding family that we had watched. At first, the young were pink and feeble. Several times we saw the brightly coloured green and yellow cockbird, as well as the female, coming to feed them. As they grew a few days older, the young became very unruly in their behaviour, and it seemed that Dad couldn't cope with the stress. The fledglings stretched up their necks and opened their red-lined mouths as if they were singing very loudly for their supper. Finally, after a week or more, the five offspring reached the equivalent of their teenage years and became extremely aggressive at mealtimes. The mother bird had no help feeding them at this stage, and she appeared quite frightened of them, but she was still determined to ensure they were properly fed. Her efforts were rewarded, and the family successfully left the nest a fortnight after hatching. There were so many birds in the garden. Some, like our greenfinches, had just fledged. Chris decided to start feeding them to provide more photo opportunities. He found an old tree trunk with hollows and cracks which he filled with birdseed. He set a hide against the hedge near the log, and he would creep into it early in the morning before work. He was delighted when the greenfinch family, including the male, began visiting the bird cafe. And that's where the garden odyssey ends, rather abruptly. So to round off the story, here are a couple of minutes of birdsong recorded in the back garden of Clive Davis during lockdown.